Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning comes from the Gospel reading according to St. Luke chapter 6, where Jesus says in verse 31, "As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them," as well as the rest of the text. There are at least three rules by which we as humans may choose to live our lives, at least as far as how we treat other people. These have been talked about in a lot of different forms in countless places. Confucius came up with at least one of them. But the version I've heard goes something like this. The first rule, called the Bronze Rule, states, "Do unto others before they do unto you." In other words, if you think someone's going to do something nasty to you, do it to them first so that they don't have a chance. They can't hurt you if you hurt them first. In other words, make a preemptive strike. Some people live their entire lives by this premise. Countries have gone to war because one country lived by it. The second rule, called the Silver Rule, states in some forms, "Do not do to others what you would not have others do to you." This is at least marginally better than the other one. In other words, this would mean that you shouldn't hurt others since you don't want to be hurt. Don't start the fight. Don't say anything mean. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. This is at least better, but notice all of the negatives. It's all about what not to do. It says nothing about what to do. Jesus, however, does not teach either of these lesser rules, shadows as they are of his true teaching, which we find in our gospel reading today. Instead, Jesus teaches what people have come to call the Golden Rule: as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. And as if that's not enough, Jesus intensifies this rule by teaching, love your enemies. It's not an easy thing to do in any of our relationships. This means that when someone is mean to you, you turn the other cheek. So if your neighbor says nasty things about you, you just ignore them, say nothing back. When you are robbed, you don't fight back or try to reclaim what was stolen, but that's not it. That's not everything that Jesus is teaching here. Even more, it means actively doing good, even to those who wrong you. So, if your neighbor says nasty things about you, it's not enough to just ignore it. Instead, you speak kindly and favorably about him, obeying the eighth commandment towards him, even though he's callously disregarding it towards you. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, so don't lie about him or speak hurtful things, but instead, defend him, speak well of him, explain everything in the kindest way. That's not that easy for us to do. But then again, Jesus says that when you are robbed, don't just not try to reclaim it, but instead, make sure the robber gets the good stuff. In fact, if he's having trouble carrying your TV out to the car, help carry one end of it. When you see someone begging on the side of the road, give to them without thinking about the consequences. That is what it means to do unto others as you would have others do unto you. That is what it means to even love your enemies. But loving your enemies runs completely counter to everything that we would ever think to do. If someone's robbing you, you aren't thinking, "Oh, I should make sure that he finds the silver that I hid under the bed." You're thinking, "Get the guy out of here." And that's kind of what we hope that Jesus would say. We'd expect Jesus to say, "Love your enemies if you can, but if you can't, thinking about it's good enough. The effort's good enough." No. we would hope that Jesus would let us off the hook when it's just too hard to love our neighbors. But Jesus doesn't do that. He demands our utmost effort, the utmost action to love those who hate us. Jesus demands our utmost, but he gives us even more. You see, it's easy to forget that Jesus showed us exactly what it means to love his enemies. Who were Jesus' enemies? All of those who are opposed to God. And what does the Bible tell us that we are apart from faith in him, or before we have faith in him? We are enemies of God. We were Jesus' enemies, broken and fallen as we were in sin. Our sins set us against him as enemies. Why did Jesus have to be born as a human being? Because human beings fell away from God. Why did Jesus have to live a perfect life? Because human beings cannot live a perfect life. Human beings cannot obey the law perfectly in all respects. Human beings cannot love our enemies as Jesus commands. Why did Jesus have to die a human death? Because that was the necessary price to atone for the sins of all people. And so, we were enemies of God. And Jesus shows us what it means to love your enemy. Jesus showed his love for his enemies by healing all of their diseases. Whenever anyone is brought to him with an illness or an ailment or possession or anything, Jesus heals. Jesus showed his love for his enemies by teaching them the way that God would have them live, something which they had forgotten over the long millennia since Eden. Jesus showed his love for his enemies by allowing them to have their way with him, to falsely accuse him, to condemn him, to torture him, to execute him on a cross. And Jesus shows his love for his enemies by praying for them. In Luke 23, he prays from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," of those who had nailed him up there in the first place. You would expect one who was crucified to curse. Instead, he blesses. You would expect him to be angry, but he forgives, even his enemies. You would expect them to hate, but Jesus loves. Jesus loved us when we were his enemies, and this is the model for how we show his love to those around us. And so, how can we show love in our neighborhood? It can be as simple as waving to your neighbor who never has a nice word to say to you. It might be taking a casserole to the new family on the block. It could be shoveling snow or picking up mail for an elderly neighbor. Any of these are ways to show love as Christ loves us. We also show love at work by working diligently, not slacking off, by working ethically, by not cheating to get ahead. In our families, we show love by putting up with each other, even when life is difficult. I saw a joke this morning that it's nice to have a nice large family in another city. That's not showing love. It's not abandoning your family even when they are difficult to live with. And above all, the one way that God commands above all others to show love to all of those around us, friends and enemies, family, is prayer. Praying that our enemies would turn from their wickedness, praying that the homeless man on the street corner would be provided for, and then, by the way, doing it. praying that all people would receive faith in Jesus Christ. But loving our enemies is not an easy task that Jesus lays before us. We do fail. We do hate. We have lashed out at others when they hurt us. We have harbored hatred for our enemies, whether real or imagined. I suspect there are even some in this congregation who have not loved our enemies, even towards those fellow believers. I failed too. Despite our best efforts, we don't always pray for those who have for those around us. We don't always show love to our neighbors or co-workers or family members. Poor, miserable, fallen, sinful people that we are, we often fail to live up to Jesus' golden rule. But he doesn't fail. He prays for both his friends and his enemies, including us. He shows that perfect love to us. Remember, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. For our hatred, for our weakness, for our godlessness and wickedness, he loves us. And it is with that love that we reach out to those around us, friends and enemies alike. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.